Welcome to the Financial Finish Line with Greg Lavelle, founder of RetirementAdvisors.net. With over 25 years of helping clients with pre- and post-retirement income planning, Greg is committed to always putting your needs first to help ensure you have a stable, reliable retirement. His comprehensive system for wealth accumulation and tax planning allows him to uncover the right strategies for you while at the same time preserving and protecting your wealth. Greg leverages his expertise in retirement income planning, including Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care, so he can assist you in mapping out the retirement income strategy that's right for you. And now, here's your host of the Financial Finish Line, Greg Lavelle.
Hello again, and thank you for joining us for the Financial Finish Line, a show built with your retirement goals in mind. At retirementadvisors.net, that's retirement, ADVISERS.net. At retirementadvisors.net, I'm dedicated to serving your needs. I'm independent, which means you're not alone. I'm here to help you with your goals, to reach and push through that financial finish line, so to speak. We have an interesting show today, especially for those who enjoy learning some things about history. What's the tallest mountain in the world? Yeah, you know the answer to that. Now, what's the tallest mountain in your world? I'd submit to you that it's the mountain we call retirement, and getting up and down successfully has its challenges, like a real mountain does as well. But enough about mountains for a moment. Let me introduce my co-host, Tracy Davis. Thank you, Tracy, for being with us today at the Financial Finish Line.
Thank you, Greg, and a big thank you to all of our listeners with us today. It's always the right time to begin planning for your future, so we're glad you've joined us.
That's right, Tracy. Don't put off today what can massively benefit you in the future.
Now, you said today the show is called The Mountain of Retirement. What does that mean?
Well, it's an illustration used quite a bit in the financial services industry. So I think I want to start it off by telling a story. This is a true story, by the way. And as the years have passed, a lot of the answers have come out. It starts off with someone that many people know of as, that's Sir Edmund Hillary. He's been crowned with the achievement of reaching the top of Mount Everest and returning to be able to tell the story of that. And so, after achieving that distinction, he was knighted by the crown and thus becoming Sir Edmund Hillary. Before that, he was just Edmund, to his friends, I'm sure. And so, it's very interesting that all those years ago, many decades, he was given incredible notoriety by accomplishing that very brave and dangerous feat. But it's also interesting that prior to the accomplishment, there was speculation about the journey of another man by the name of George Mallory. Here's more about the story.
Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world, stretches miles above sea level and offers climbers an ultimate challenge. In 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary became the first known person to successfully scale the summit of Mount Everest, accompanied by his Sherpa, Tenzing Norgay. A Sherpa is a native Himalayan guide who knows the mountainous terrain. They help climbers complete the trek, carving out pathways and sheltering hikers from the elements. More importantly, it's their knowledge and experience that makes them invaluable. Decades before Hillary's successful climb, a man named George Mallory attempted the same feat. Some believe Mallory reached the summit of Mount Everest years before Hillary. Unfortunately, Mallory never returned from his journey, but when his remains were discovered not long ago, he was found in his rappelling gear, indicating he was on his way down the mountain. He also told his family he would leave a photo of them at the summit if he were successful. This photo was not in his possession, giving more proof that Mallory did indeed make it to the top of Everest. Why is it that most people have never heard of George Mallory?
Well, very interestingly, back in 1999, there was a lot of snow melt around Everest, and they actually found a particular body that they did identify it as George Mallory. And there was enough preserved because of the frozen tundra that they could tell it was him. They found items on him that belonged to him, but there were some clues that suggested that he may have made it to the summit of Everest decades before Hillary did. I don't want to get too technical, but one clue was that he was actually seen on the mountain with only a 2-hour hike from the summit. So, they know he was that close, but then they found something else interesting. One of the things that George Mallory wanted to do was he wanted to leave a picture of his family at the peak. And what they did not find on him was that picture. And so again, there's probably 6 more clues, but it is now concluded that by most in the exploration community that he did make it to the summit. The problem was he didn't make it back, as we heard earlier. So what does that deserve? I certainly think he deserves recognition, but this is the other interesting part, I think. Sir Edmund Hillary took with him a Sherpa. A Sherpa, of course, is someone that lives in that area that knows the mountain. They're a guide to the top and back down. They know the best routes. They can read the weather. All of this type of stuff. And so they are experts at going up the mountain, but also down the mountain back home, which is nice to get back home, right? The thing with Mallory is he actually took his friend Irvin. So he did not have an expert. He had a friend go with him.
Because unlike Sir Edmund Hillary, he had not successfully made it down the mountain. In fact, the majority of deaths on Mount Everest occur not on the ascent, but on the descent. The distinct difference between these two men and their efforts is that Hillary had a guide, a Sherpa, who had the experience and knowledge of the terrain. Why is this story important? It's an illustration of the retirement income planning journey. Many do a terrific job of accumulating income, making it to the top of their own financial mountain. The challenge is making it down that mountain into the income distribution and preservation years. Who will be your guide as you plan for retirement?
And so I was reading up on this, and it actually is about 70% of all climbing accidents and deaths occur on the way down the mountain, on the descent. Now, there's a lot of speculation as to why. You're tired, you're running low on food or oxygen, or lots of different reasons you can say that. But I want to relate that back to the retirement income planning. So when you start thinking about retirement, if you look at the mountain of retirement, going up the mountain, approaching retirement before you reach the peak, it's really not that complicated. I mean, it's not like you've got a dozen decisions to make, right? I mean, what's the decision to make? Do I put money into my 401k at work? Well, that's a pretty simple decision, right? Hopefully you do. Hopefully they're matching. Do I need some life insurance in case I pass away to make sure my family's taken care of? Do I need some disability insurance? I mean, there's 4 or 5 questions you may have, but you've got time on your side. And so it's not that difficult, right? But once you reach that peak and then you start heading down the valley of retirement and you want to get back into retirement, through retirement to the end of your life, what do you have to think about? What are the decisions that have to be made? The first that comes to my mind is working on things like your goals. What will you be doing when you retire? Are you going to be playing golf? Are you going to be traveling? Are you going to be buying an RV? You're going to write a book. Going back to school. I mean, it's all these different things. And it's that complicated. And is that complicated? No. Do you need a Sherpa for that? Probably not. But then you start thinking about what's the cost of this lifestyle and what kind of budget? And I guess probably every time I do an initial consultation, hardest thing for the client or prospect to come up with is how much money they're going to need in retirement. So we work through that. What are you doing now? What will you be doing differently? What are you spending on now? What are you actually spending, right? Not your paycheck, not your salary, because you have things coming out of that that won't come out in retirement, like 401k and things like that. So we spend a lot of time talking about that, and we have really nice tools we can use to assist with this process. So that's probably the first thing that we have to think about and come up with a number.
Yeah, that's one of the first things you have to do. And I know that's where a financial services professional like yourself comes in. And I think it's really important for people to understand that they don't have to go it alone. That's why you need a Sherpa. That's why when my car starts making funny sounds, I call a mechanic. And if my kid flushes a toy down the toilet, I call a plumber, right? So when it comes to my finances, I should be working with a financial services professional. I'm not going to name any names, Greg Lavelle, but I happen to know a guy. And people just really need to understand that they need, especially now with all the changes to the tax codes, continual changes to Social Security and Medicare, you're their financial Sherpa. I love that analogy. A lot of people have made it to the top of Mount Everest now. People have done it, but unfortunately, not as many make it back down. And that's the key. It's the trip back down.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get back home, for sure.
That would be a good thing. A lot of people go with just the goal in mind to reach the top, but you have to have a plan in advance and even do more planning to get back down. So without a plan, you probably won't make it. And it's the same with our retirement journey. You need to have a plan. And really, a lot of people have a great plan to get to retirement. Work, 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 save. Or, hey, I'm working, I've got my 401k, I'll worry about retirement later. But you really need to get some ducks in a row first, don't you?
Absolutely. And if you relate it back to George Mallory and him reaching the summit and not making it back, occasionally, we may have somebody come in and say, well, I'm working with a company we've worked with for two generations or three generations. My grandfather used this company and this guy. Then this guy passed on to his son, and I'm using that guy's son, and so on and so forth. And so they've never really become close to using us, and they're good friends. And I say, well, okay, that's good. That's really good. So again, are they retirement consultants or are they investment professionals? And they'll say, well, I don't think that they do all what we do. Then I start asking questions. And again, could a friend get you to the top or close to your retirement? Yeah, maybe so. Again, there's three or four decisions to make. But once you turn about age 50 to 55 or so, you need to start thinking about getting a financial Sherpa that can take you through all the things that there are to decide about when making plans for your retirement income journey. And we've already discussed that first thing coming up with how much money do we need? And that may sound simple. And some people just come up with a number immediately. It may be a little off, but that's okay. But then what else do we need to do? Well, we need to start looking at the money picture, and the money picture being how do we replace your paycheck? There's a great disagreement among financial professionals about how much money you could take out of the stock market account over retirement and not run out of money. And that's really difficult to track that because you have so many variables. You have considerations like the volatility of the market is much worse over the last 20 years, and it was the preceding 60 years. You've got retirees living longer than ever before. Previous generations only had to account for a retirement that averaged 10 to 15 years. Now it's 20 to 30 years that the money needs to last. We have what's called the risk of sequence of returns, which basically means if you retire and that first year we have a down market, you'll dig yourself a hole that you're probably not going to come out of. And so how do you replace that paycheck? Pensions have, for the most part, gone away, right? Very few pensions left. And even the ones that are around, a lot of them don't have cost of living increases. So now you have inflation to battle. And looking at your Social Security benefit, it changes. We've had 12 major changes in Social Security since its inception in the late 1930s. And so it's likely to change again. What's it going to look like? Do you have a plan for that? And so when it comes to planning, income is probably the next most important question. Now we know what we need. How are we going to get it? And how are we going to bridge that income gap? Every once in a while, I'll have somebody come in with a big spreadsheet. They say, okay, Greg, I got it figured out. And I look at and note that you left this out and, oh, you left that out too. Oh, by the way, maybe markets average 8% for 80 years. But it's not 8% every year. One year, it's 12%, and one year, it's a negative 15%, for example. How do you take that into consideration? And all these kind of things that just having a spreadsheet doesn't solve. And so that's the next most important thing, which is income. Where is that paycheck coming from? it can be a scary thing to walk away from a paycheck. And so, we have to replace that paycheck monthly because there's something funny about the utility company. They want their check every month or they're going to cut those utilities. And so, if you don't have that check ready, you're going to be in the dark for a few days. So that's the next most important thing as you begin that journey down the mountain towards the final retirement.
Right. That's huge. So if our listeners will want to get that plan in place, and I know that you offer that free retirement readiness assessment, you'll sit down with them and get a plan for them. So how do they do that?
Well, a couple of simple ways. Number one, of course, the old-fashioned phone call works. We still have telephones here in the office. 888-637-3847. It's 888-63-RETIRE. But I think a really simple way is just to go to our website, and there's a little button right there on the front page. Click the button to schedule an appointment to get started on your free retirement readiness assessment. If you want to do a phone call, that's fine. We're very comfortable doing a face-to-face meeting too. But again, you click that button and we'll follow up with you right away. And then it's just a matter of us getting the materials to you to prepare for that meeting. And really, Tracy, it's just a brief chat about you, your dreams, your goals, your concerns. And if it's a situation to where after the conversation that we think we can run some other reports for you, and we'll run anywhere from 5 to 10 reports to show you where you're at, where you're going, and where the pitfalls are. And so that's complimentary as well.
Right. And so basically you're talking about asset allocation and where your money's at and being able to access it when you need it. So everything from those retirement savings accounts, how do you turn them into income, having an emergency fund, and filling the income gap. That's a big part of that, isn't it? You may have distributions from a 401k, an IRA, or maybe even Social Security, and that adds up to a certain amount, but there's often a gap between that and what you need to live on comfortably, right?
Exactly. And that's part of that income planning. That's so important. And then the other thing that you can ask the average professional or broker or financial salesperson out there is this question. And they'll typically glass over, and it's about tax planning, because that income that's coming in, what's the net? So it's not the gross income that counts, it's the net income. So if it's taxable, then subtract 20 or 30% of that check that's coming in. Do you have a tax strategy where you're turning some of your money into tax-free money? We're not psychics that predict the future, but we believe very strongly that taxes are going to be rising in the future. And so, about the time you're ready to retire, you may have 90% of your retirement money in a 401k plan, which means you have a tax burden on your 401k. Part of that money does not belong to you. It belongs to the IRS. It's just a matter of time when they get it, and they're going to get it when you take the money out. And so, tax planning is probably the next most important thing, because it's not about the gross income, it's about the net check each month that's coming into your household.
Well, yeah, there you go. So that's an interesting take. And I know that's something that you help your clients figure out is that income planning piece. That's a significant thing you do for people. And our listeners should probably pick up the phone, give you a call, and make sure that they have that retirement income plan in place. Because, wow, retirement income planning is huge, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's much more complicated than you think. And again, once you start looking at the tax part of it, it changes the whole picture. And that's why, really, tax planning has moved up to probably the second or third most important thing we do for now. For a while, it was, five or six places down in importance. Now, it's really moving up fast. And we're really taking a lot of time to put together a tax strategy, especially since taxes are on sale right now. They still are at some of the lowest rates that we've seen in many, many years. And so, we're trying to take advantage of that before they do go up. So again, that tax planning, making it part of that income planning is critical. RetirementAdvisors.net does not offer tax advice. You will need to contact a tax professional. And then we move into some other areas. We move into Social Security planning. How do we maximize Social Security? Because the more income that can't be derived from Social Security, the less gap you'll have to fill. We look at pension maximization. If you are blessed enough to have a pension, how can we maximize that? Do you choose a survivor, or do you cover the survivor in a different way? And then there's Medicare, Medicare supplements, Medicaid, and long-term care to look into. I mean, you're going to have a need for quality health care in the future. How do you handle that? It could be a significant drain on your retirement funds that you haven't anticipated. So, long-term care planning and premature death of a spouse are two more important things that kind of walk hand in hand. And then we need to start looking at legacy. How important is that to you? Do you really want to leave something to your kids and grandkids? Do you want to help fund that grandchild's college education? Some people come in and say that there's something left, they can have it. Otherwise, it's mine, and that's fine. I mean, you've earned it, so why not enjoy it? Other people's mindset is like, my parents left me something, I'd like to leave that legacy to my kids. And so, we want the legacy planning and maximization, which includes how do we reduce taxes at a passing of a spouse, and how do we reduce the complications of probate? So that's part of the legacy planning. Now, I'm just touching on the big ones here, by the way. There's a lot more risk in retirement that could throw you off. So I'm just touching on the top five or six items today because we look at all of them because it's hard to know where the pitfalls are exactly when we're heading down the retirement mountain and we're in those distribution years. We don't know what could trip you up and make your retirement less than you hoped it would be until we take that comprehensive look in to all the areas that affect your retirement income. You don't want to retire into uncertainty and lack of planning.
Well, yeah, it's such a great feeling of confidence that you get from knowing that you've taken that comprehensive examination of your retirement income strategy and you have a solid plan in place. And speaking of that, we're almost out of time. So let our listeners know, Greg, before we go, how they can get a hold of you.
Well, again, a great way is the website, retirementadvisors.net. There's a lot of great resources, and you can click to set an appointment to get started on your free retirement readiness assessment. Or just give us a call at 888-637-3847 or 888-63-RETIRE. Now, before we hit the road, I'd like to bring something to our listeners that's on the lighter side. I think it'll also get the wheels of your mind turning and dreaming about what you could be doing in your retirement. What comes to mind when you think about retirement? Spending time with the grandchildren, traveling to the beach or other favorite locations, spending time on the golf course. Tracy, what do you dream about in retirement?
Oh, definitely the beach. Give me someplace hot and sunny year-round, and on the ocean, I'll be set.
Well, there's some examples of a non-traditional lifestyle that are growing in popularity among retirees. The first is retirement on a cruise ship. Did you know you can live on a cruise ship?
No, I didn't know that.
In fact, there is one cruise ship, the World, that is specifically dedicated to retirees who live at sea. Unlike other cruise ships, which operate like a resort, it's operated like a condominium complex with large cabins that can be purchased. There's other choices in the ship, too. In fact, many cruise lines offer extended options so that you can spend months or even years aboard a ship.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
I know, right? One study found that living aboard a cruise ship could be comparable in price to an assisted living facility. At the time of the study, a year on Royal Caribbean cruise ships cost over $33,000 versus average annual cost of assisted living in Massachusetts, which is over $67,000. This could be a legitimate option if you want to travel the world in retirement.
Sign me up. They're bound to make a stop at the beach.
Okay, so this next one is maybe not that unusual. Retirement in an RV. Maybe you want to skip the international travel and just want to cruise the USA. Retirement in an RV is not unheard of, but it's certainly not the norm. Perhaps you'd like to downsize, reduce your spending, and also travel the country. An RV may be the way to go. In fact, there's an entire community of retirees known as work campers, who have downsized into an RV and travel the country. They'll often trade labor or other services for rent at campsites. It's not for everyone, but if you have a limited budget in retirement and want to explore the open road, this could be an option to consider. Tracy, how about you take the next one?
You bet. Next is overseas living. In 2018, more than 400,000 U.S. citizens collected Social Security retirement benefits while living overseas. What do you think the most popular places are? Well, Canada was the most popular location, with Japan, Mexico, Germany, and the United Kingdom rounding out the top five. Now, why retire overseas? The reason varies for each person. Individuals may have a strong family or professional connection to another country, or they may choose a country because it offers affordable cost of living, warm climates, inexpensive health care, and other benefits.
Personally, I'm 50-50 on living abroad. I like the good old USA, and there'd be a lot of things I'd miss about home. Moving on, the fourth unusual retirement we have for you today is starting a new business. Did you know that more than one quarter of all new businesses in 2017 were started by those between ages 55 and 64? Entrepreneurship isn't a young person's niche anymore. Businesses started by those nearing retirement or in retirement increased 15% since 1996. In many ways, retirement could be the perfect time to pursue your entrepreneurial dreams. You have the time to invest in your new project, and you may not feel the pressure to turn a profit immediately. That's a big plus. And remember, a financial professional can help you fit your entrepreneurial dreams into your retirement strategy. These are just a handful of examples of non-traditional retirement paths. Of course, these may not be what you're picturing for yourself. What does your ideal retirement look like? Have you been dreaming about it? You can chart any course you want, and retirementadvisors.net is here to help you get there.
All right. Well, thanks, Greg. And that does it for today's episode of The Financial Finish Line with your host, Greg Lavelle.
And I hope you enjoyed today's show, The Mountain of Retirement. Hope you got a lot out of it. And again, hope to hear from you soon. But in the meantime, until we get back together again, plan well and prosper. Have a great day, everybody.
Securities offered through Client One Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Retirement Advisors and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated. Licensed insurance professional. Respond and learn how financial products, including life insurance and annuities, can be used in various planning strategies for retirement. This material has been prepared for informational and educational purposes only. It is not intended to provide and should not be relied upon for accounting, legal, tax, or investment advice. Licensed to sell insurance in the following states: Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Maine. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. No investment strategy can guarantee a profit or protect against loss in a period of declining values. Any reference to protection benefits or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investment products. Insurance and annuity products are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company.